the newly crowned all-time leading trainer, Dale Roman.
Well, Chef Edward Lee,
I'm honored to be with Dan Issel.
I'm at the offices of Louisville Public Media with Stephen George.
Budding country music star, J.D. Shelburne.
Rocky Adkins is with us.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, Louisville's longest-running and most interesting podcast. Join Rick Redding, your host, as he talks with some of the city's most interesting individuals. The city's leaders in politics, business, sports, and the arts join Rick in lively one-on-one interviews, taking on the topics that are making news in the Ville. Right now, Rick's ready to get the show rolling in the Louisville.
And I am glad to be back
studio
with you on the Rusty Here's Satellite Rick Show. This is Rick Redding, your host for episode number 294 in a row, if you can believe that. And I'm very excited about this show. I have two outstanding young men, one younger, one really young, one of the youngest guys I've ever had on this show. His name is Jake Latz, and he started something called Louisville's Got Talent, modeled after the America's Got Talent TV show. And Jake is quite a young man, quite the young man. You're going to hear about how he started this thing when he was 13. He's now 18, getting ready to graduate from high school and go on to college at Yale. So one of the sharper young men in our city, and very happy to introduce you to him, that America's Got Talent show. The Louisville version of America's Got Talent. Louisville's Got Talent is coming up very soon at the Jewish Community Center. Raises money for a good cause, all that stuff. So stay tuned for that. He's coming up first. In the second part of the show, Tarek Nally, who is a principal at Kaolin Flex, which is an agency that is in Nulu. And he's one of my favorite people. I just sort of like hanging out with Tarek and hanging out down in Nulu. I tell you, I almost said, I could set my studio up right here over in this corner in your office, and that would be fine. But speaking of the studio, I'm not in the studio right now. I am recording this show at the at my pad down in Clifton. You know that orange and red building? That's where I live, down on Lower Brownsboro Road, next to Pat's Steakhouse. And I'm down here because I wanted to do this right now and at this moment. Melissa Swan, who you remember from the WHAS-TV anchor, is in the studio. She's recording her first podcast. And it's going to be a few weeks before it becomes available to you, but I'm really impressed with Melissa's efforts and desires to get in this podcast train and get this thing going. And you can do that too. Louisville.am, as you know, I took it over the first of the year, and we're developing a number of different podcasts. And if you have an interest in being a part of our network, let me know. You can call me 502-439-6391, and I look forward to talking to you. The network now has a new episode of The Crunch Zone, which is all about University of Louisville sports. It's a very entertaining show. The guys ramble on a lot about things going on. The Cardinals, the big thing right now, the Cardinal basketball team. I know you won't hear this before the game, but like a couple other things I'm doing, Syracuse is on the agenda for a Wednesday evening. And it's a very important game for the Cards as they wind up their season. They'll only have about four games left before the postseason after that. So and that's what's going on with U of L and with the Crunch Zone. All right, so let me tell you about my sponsors. This podcast is made possible by my friends at Passport Health Plan, by my friends at the Eye Care Institute, where I got LASIK this summer, and it is fantastic, a life-changing experience. Call them at 502-589-1500. And also by my buddies at Heiser Health. I've been working Peggy extra hard recently because of my little episode in the hospital last month, but all is well now, and everything's great, and we're moving forward with my health. I'm back on the racquetball court and doing all kinds of things. So anyway, I'm very, very happy to move on in the show and introduce you to my first guest. His name is Jake Latz. He's a high school senior at Kentucky Country Day. He already knows he's going to Yale, and he has organized this great talent show over at the Jewish Community Center. I just am happy to be able to introduce you to him because he's a really sharp young man, and I think you'll agree after you hear this interview.
I admit I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together.
Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
And I am here in the Rusty Satellite Studios at Louisville.am with Jake Latz. And Jake, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
We had a big year in 2013, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Well, I started this little podcast 5 years, but you were only 13 years old, and you did something really cool that year. Tell me about that.
So I started Louisville's Got Talent, which is a fundraiser talent show that raises money for Center Stage's Acting Out. Acting Out is a program at Center Stage that brings children's theater productions to different elementary schools all around the Louisville area.
Okay, and so you get so you've done this, and it's coming up again. So you've done this for like 5 or 6 years.
6 years, yeah.
You've seen some crazy acts, I bet.
Yes, we've seen some amazing things. Of course, we've seen singers and dancers, but also we've had an improv group come through once. A group did their piece for speech. What they do for speech tournaments. We've had magicians. We've had, I always remember this little kid that did this thing with plates.
I don't watch much TV, but I know that America's Got Talent, the inspiration for your local version, is they get people like, what do they do? Eat fire, and you know they do all kinds of crazy stuff, right?
Yeah, we don't get any fire eaters very often. But yeah, sometimes we see some less traditional things.
Okay, so the kids that compete, they are what are their age range and all that?
So they have to be between 6 and 18.
Okay. Mm. Have you ever seen a 6-year-old that's any good?
one of my favorite acts that I've had before was this little 6-year-old break dancer. Whoa. Who actually won the whole thing in 2013.
Wow. So, I saw it. So, have any of them gone on to additional fame other than winning Louisville's Got Talent?
Well, we always try to ask the winners to come back and perform at Louisville's Got Talent and to help us promote the show afterwards, so we see them a lot.
Okay. Now, the amazing thing for our audience to know about Jake, who's put all this together for all this time, you're now a senior in high school.
Yes.
At Kentucky Country Day. All right. So you got you all set for prom? I don't know what high school questions you ask here.
I don't know. Prom's really, really late at KCD, so I haven't even started thinking about that yet.
All right. So you don't know who your date's going to be or anything?
No.
Okay, ladies out there, you know, he's available. So what else you doing? You have like senioritis or anything?
At school right now, the musical is Les Mis, and I'm playing Jean Valjean. So, Tech Week is next week, so I'm really excited for that.
So you're busy with that. So your aspiration is to become an actor, I understand.
Yes.
And as early as it is, you've known that you're going to Yale for a long time.
Mm-hmm. For, I think, about 2 months now.
Yeah. What made you choose Yale?
Well, I really loved the musical theater program that they have at Yale because it allows me to do both theater and music in a BA setting, and also I think the Yale campus is beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's Yale, you know.
it's
like not, you couldn't get into Western Kentucky. you got to go to Yale. So that's very exciting. If people want to come and see this competition, how long does it last? What tell me some of the details.
Well, the auditions are March 10th, and you have until March 10th to sign up on the Louisville's Got Talent website. And then the final showcase is April 14th.
Okay. You've always organized. You never competed?
No, I've never competed.
Why not? What would you do?
A little bit biased. But I always judge in the auditions, and then I've been emceeing along with another name for the past few years.
Okay. Well, I think what I saw was the other name was Don G for a while, right?
Yes. Last year it was Don G. We've had Keith Kaiser do it before, John Leffert before.
Okay.
And is it a mystery this year?
Sarah Wagner.
Yeah, this year it's Sarah Wagner.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she's a TV personality?
She is with HAS.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Wow. She's great.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all these judges, Rick. There's lots of cool judges.
If you didn't know, audience, Caroline Knopp, my favorite, is in the, in the studio with Jake. So, Jake, what else you do? What else you do? Like, for it sounds like you're very serious about your work and everything.
What else you do? I also play piano pretty seriously.
Okay.
I'm working on material for a senior recital this spring.
Okay. Wow. Okay. And so you go to Yale like in the fall?
Yep.
Okay. What's your last summer of in Louisville like?
Well, we are going to France for a graduation trip, my family. Then I'm also interning at the Louisville Orchestra.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. With Teddy.
Mm-hmm.
You met him.
The operations side.
Yeah, what do you think of him? He's been on this show.
Oh, I love him. I go to see the orchestra all the time. I interned with them last summer, and it was amazing, so I'm going back to do it again.
Yeah. So what do you do as an intern? You got to go get coffee and stuff.
No,
like that.
Actually, last year I helped put together one of the new scores for a concert that they were doing this year.
Uh-huh.
I updated their performance history, database. What else did I do? Just crazy.
You went and got the coffee.
No. I helped the music librarian too.
It was so they don't mistreat you like a lot of interns.
No, they're very fun. Here.
Okay. And what do you have to do to get into Yale? Was it you write an essay or something? I know you got to have good grades, and you got great grades at KCD, right?
Mm-hmm. There are a few short answers that you have to do. There are two essays and then your Common App essay. I also sent in a music supplement to the music school so they could see that I perform as well.
So like a performance?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what do you think got you over the hump? I mean, is it just like they say on TV, you wait by the mailbox and you get a letter and that's it?
My application was very specific to because I knew exactly what I wanted to do at Yale, and it's not exactly a traditional thing that one would do at Yale. I want to do the musical theater program, so I think that's what made me stand out.
Okay. Well, you're like involved with all these people now, younger than you. Although when you started, you know, you were right there, but you know, all these kids. It seems like most kids aren't as sure as you are what they want to do. And so, I mean, do you give some advice to these younger kids about succeeding?
Yeah, just find what you're passionate about and just chase that. When I was two, I started loving musical theater, and I never stopped since.
Okay. At two?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. What's your first memories of like musical theater?
When I was two, it was Thanksgiving. I was running around being chased by my uncle, and my shoelace was untied, and I tripped and broke. I think I broke my ankle or something. Then they didn't have anything to do with me, so they sat me down in front of the TV, and Sound of Music was on the TV, and so then I became obsessed with Sound of Music.
Ah.
I also remember going to see Beauty and the Beast in New York with my mom.
Okay.
I also saw my first live show was at KCD. They did Oklahoma. I think I was in second grade.
All right. Wow. Well, come by it honestly. What's your favorite of all the
my favorite.
You've seen?
I don't know. I usually have phases of favorites. Right now, it's probably Miss Saigon.
Okay.
But yeah, it goes in phases.
So you must like movies too. Are you into movies? Did you go to the Jewish Film Festival we talked about?
No, I didn't have a chance to see any of those. But I always try to watch all of the Best Picture Oscar nominees.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you must spend a lot of time over at JCC. after school, I guess.
Yeah. Especially during Little Scott Talent season, having meetings.
So it's meetings, and then these auditions. I mean, I guess they're pretty entertaining. As well, do you get some really bad ones? You know, this one. What is that show? American Idol. They always make fun of the really bad ones, you know, and all that. And you don't have to make fun of anybody, but you can tell me.
Well, of course, there are some people that aren't as talented because we usually get about 90 kids that audition, and we only can take 20 of them. But we try to be really encouraging.
Okay. Maybe I'll come over and tape
have a question,
those.
Rick, okay. Do you mind?
Caroline, butt right in.
I was curious. What if, Jake, can they come the day of?
Yes.
Like on March 10th, so they can pre-register, or do you prefer them to come the day of?
Well,
and are there just thousands of kids sometimes that you might have like 500, 600
kids?
Well,
when you pre-register, it's a bit more organized, but we always welcome walk-ins.
Okay. That's good to know. Yeah, because I wasn't quite sure. I didn't know if there was a cutoff, like with your pre-registration of the kids.
No, we'll take as many as we can get.
I love that.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like a very entertaining event to see all these kids singing and dancing. I guess they do the whole thing. They do the uniform. They dress up and do the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And who? And you select the judges?
Yes, me and the committee that we've formed.
Mm-hmm. So you're going off to Yale. What's going to happen? What's going to happen next year?
Next year, well, last year we started a committee of high school students and parents that hopefully will kind of take carry the torch over the next few years with help from the JCC as well.
There's not a younger Jake out there that is similarly ambitious.
A group of younger Jakes.
Well, you can't be replaced by just one guy, right? Well, that sounds very exciting, Jake. I'm glad to know that you're doing this in our city and that you're leaving it behind and off to Yale. I guess we'll hear big things from you in the future.
Thank you.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
And I think you'll agree, Jake is quite the young man there. Great things ahead of him. And we'll always be able to say we remember him back when he was on the Rusty Satellite Show in Louisville, right? All right. Well, I've been doing a lot of busy time. You know, I always think this year I've come close to getting seasonal affective disorder. I just set my mind to getting through February, getting through this crappy feeling, the crappy weather. You can't go outside. I've been trying to do things to fight it. And I'm sorry you're hearing this on Thursday. I'll have already done these two events that I'm planning to go to in just a couple hours. As you know, Chef Dino. Tribute dinner is tonight, Wednesday, February 20th. I had Jerry Ziegart and Harry Dennery on this show several weeks ago talking about that event. It's sold out. It's at the Olmsted, and they're going to raise a lot of money for Dean Corbett's family, and that's a really great thing. Also tonight, I'm going to the opening party for the Humana Festival of New American Plays at Actors Theater. That is starting tonight, so I'm planning to attend as many of those plays as possible, and we'll report to you about what I think. Get a little culture, right? It's really a great thing. There's some other big events I just wanted to mention real quickly that in a few weeks, on the second Tuesday in March, there is going to be a Breakfast of Champions that you're not going to want to miss because Police Chief Steve Conrad is going to be our speaker. And I don't know that he does a whole lot of these type of events, and it's going to be interesting to hear. Conrad gets a lot of, a little criticism in some quarters and has been a very political figure. And I'm thrilled he's agreed to come speak with us. I'm going to try to get him on the Rusty Satellite Show in a week or two, and we'll see how that goes. More immediately, next Tuesday, the 27th,
or is that Wednesday? On the 27th is the Commitment to Compassion Luncheon. It's going to be held down at the Ali Center. I've been working on this with my friends at Passport, and they are honoring about 11 people who have some of these stories are really tremendous about people who have a strong commitment to compassion in their lives in healthcare. There are doctors and nurses, and there's a radiology technician. These are people that do extraordinary things for their coworkers and their patients. I went last year. It was really great. Of course, last year, you know, we're having all this weather. It's held at the Ali Center. Last year, they had to move it to the Fraser Museum because there was flooding. Familiar story, right? Well, I don't think the flooding is going to cause them to move the Commitment to Compassion Lunch this year, and it will be it will take place down there. In fact, the MC event, I was very happy to see this. I wrote about I have this story in Insider Louisville. Harry Pickens, who was on this show some time ago, the great American jazz musician who lives here and is a coach. Is the MC for that event. So there's going to be a lot of things going on there. You can still get tickets. If you go to Insider Louisville, you can find information about the luncheon. Okay. So there's my roundup of events going on. And I just want to take a quick romp through the news, especially as there's some news this week about some people that are important to me and friends of the Rusty Satellite Show. For one thing, Don G, the Wave 3 news anchor, colleague of John Bowl, who was here last week, is going to be presented an award at the Louisville Forum Dinner, the Fleur-de-Lis Award. It's presented each year to a local citizen who spent his or her career making significant contributions to the Louisville community. And Don has certainly done that. She is sort of switched places with John Bowl down there at Wave, and she's on in the mornings now, but she's a great individual, very friendly, and I'm glad to see her getting a nice award. All right, other Rusty Satellite alumni in the news. I should mention that this week it was announced that the Cellar Door Chocolates is moving from its spot in Butchertown, in the Butchertown Market, where I've been many times, to a bigger space, a better space down in Portland. Which is quite a move for Erica Chavez Graziano, who is the founder, and just a great story about how she got that business started and going, which she told right here on the Rusty Satellite Show. She's going down there in a building with Heine Brothers, with Mike Mays and Heine Brothers, who moved down to Portland. So good news on the front, on the Portland front, having Cellar Door Chocolates down there. That's that was just announced this week. So anyway, more good news for people who have been guests on the Rusty Satellite Show. Now, other news that I noticed that I'm just interested in talking to you about. Did you see that 8 states now have already signed up since the national ruling last year that sports betting is no longer banned nationally? There is no national law against sports betting. Do you think Kentucky's getting in line to get in on this money? Not a chance, my friends. There is a bill in the legislature. I predict it will not pass. It is very restrictive. It doesn't allow you to bet on Kentucky teams that are based in Kentucky. It's all controlled by the horse racing tracks. It is, in a word, flawed. And when you add to that a governor who thinks that $20 million or $200 million or however much it is, it's not worth it. He doesn't think it's worth it as the city drowns in a pension crisis and refuses to get on board with medical marijuana, much less recreational marijuana, where other states like Colorado are just making tax money hand over foot. Well, our governor doesn't like gambling either. So we will not be among the states voting to make sports betting legal. It's my prediction. And it's a shame. It's a shame we live in a place like this where with a governor like this. But that's the way it is. And good for them to the legislature putting forward a bill to pass sports betting. They've been putting bills together
on marijuana since before this show started, and nothing has even sniffed becoming real. So that's what's going on in Kentucky as we flail away with a financial crisis. The big story out of Lexington, did you hear this? It's called Railbird. It's a new forecastle-like festival that will be held at Keeneland. It was just announced today. Ought to be very interesting. Lexington is right to get on board on this, and you know, getting Keeneland to go along, I think it was a real big step for the organizers. It's the same organizers who organize Forecastle. So as people with experience, they will pull it off, and it will likely be a great event. I predict. They didn't announce a lineup or anything. They said it would be popular artists, probably some country stars that will be playing at Keeneland. Be interesting to see how they set up stages out there and what they'll allow people to do, because Keeneland is mired in tradition. I know it was a long time. I remember going there when they wouldn't allow an announcer at Keeneland, and now they finally got that issue fixed. They finally decided that would be okay. But anyway, Keeneland's going to have a big festival with rock, folk, and bluegrass acts. And it's going to take place in August, a month before our big three weekends of festivals. With the it'll be after Forecastle and before the Hometown Rising and the Bourbon and Beyond and the Louder Than Life festivals take place at the fairgrounds, which was just announced last week. So there's a lot of things to look forward to as we muddle through this whole February thing. Interesting story. Did you see Air Devils in? I saw Sarah Havens had a story inside of Louisville that building, which is dates back to the 1850s, right there across from Bowman Field on Taylorsville Road. The owners were having problems keeping it going, and were threatening to close it. And now they're having some benefit concerts, and they're going to raise a bunch of money, try to keep Air Devils in open. So good for them. That's a good place to stay open. There are some things that have closed recently. And, you know, and I'm kind of sad about it because I went to both of these places. The Yankee Noodle right there at that prominent corner at Highland and Baxter is now closed. I went by there today, and they're boarded up. No telling what's going to be in there. That spot, it's very prominent, but apparently not great for restaurants. KFC had a new concept there that didn't last, and so we'll have to see if they're able to get anything in there next. Also, up the street on Barstown Road, the North End Cafe, thank goodness the one on Frankfort Avenue is not closing, but the North End Cafe up in the Highlands by the Douglas Loop is not going to keep going. I'm going to one of the owners of that is Dr. Whitney Jones, who I know he's a gastroenterologist. That's right, gastroenterologist, and I'm going to have him on the show in the very near future to talk about colon cancer and Colon Cancer Awareness Month, which is in March. And lastly, a big shout-out to Dallas McGarity and Ping Louie, who are featured on the Chopped show in TV. I don't watch those shows, but it's a big deal to get on one and for McGarity to win. They had a big celebration last night. It's big. It's good news for Kentucky and for Louisville's culinary scene to have guys like him. And as you remember, a few weeks ago, we had Joshua Moore from Valare, who won a competition there. He was here on this show. And these are great people. You got to have a good personality, be a good chef. And maybe I'll get Dallas McGarity. I haven't had him on the show yet, and he'd be a great guest, I think. And so that's a little bit of a wrap of what's going on around town, some of the big stories that are happening in the world of Louisville, Kentucky, my hometown. Right now, before we go on to our next guest, I do want to mention all the activity that is going on with Louisville.am. As you know, I own LouisvilleKY.com. The Pulse of the City is a website devoted to local news. And Louisville.am has been added to the family of
Websites I Control, and it is thanks to my friend Jason Smith, it's undergone sort of a revamping, I would call it, and it has a new look. And you'll find a number of podcasts available there to listen to, and we put a lot of work in. Jason's put a lot of work into making sure that thing is up and ready and going, and keep an eye out. There's some new podcasts in the works that we're going to have right here on the Louisville.am network. All right, and lastly, of course, we're on Twitter and all that. My Twitter handle is Ricky Redding. If you want to interact with me on Twitter, I don't do a lot on Twitter, but I need to. Something that I should do, but I don't. You know, there's a lot of other things to do. All right, so I want to get to my friend Tarek Nally. Tarek is an entrepreneur who moved here and loves it here. Has adopted newly. He's been involved in a lot of great, cool projects, and it's just one of my favorite people. So I'm going to let you. I'm going to step aside here and let you listen to my interview with Tarek Nally. All right, the Rusty Satellite Show. Well, Tarek Nally is with me, and since I last talked to you, you've moved all the way across the street.
Yep.
Down here in Nula. How you doing?
Good, good. Doing great. Doing great.
I love this new space you have here, and it's better. I guess it's a little roomier and more modern over here. So tell me about Kellen Flax and what you guys do.
Yeah, so Kellen Flax is a human-centered design company. We started right here in Louisville. We've grown, you know, kind of gradually over the time, really focused on kind of growing the right way and not moving too quickly or, you know, kind of taking calculated risks to find our way. But kind of going into 2019, we really took the second half of 2018 to start to focus on growing our clientele base outside of Kentucky in a big way.
Okay.
So we really started to focus on some opportunities in Chicago and Cincinnati and New York and D.C. And D.C. has been a really great channel for us in terms of working with foundations, but that kind of gets into more sort of what we do. But, yeah, the team's growing over here, and right now we're finalizing some opportunities to actually expand our presence in Chicago.
I saw that you put a video up. You're trying to hire people. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so you know, as part of our plans of expansion, we're really trying to strengthen the Louisville team and kind of increase some of our skills and core competency here, so that as me and some of the leadership start to put some of our attention and efforts on actually physically growing somewhat of a base in Chicago. That there's just enough skill set and strategy and perspective sort of within our Louisville team so we can just continue to offer
great service. Well, I'm going to play the part of a confused listener now and ask you, I hear all this, all these great words, but tell me what you actually do.
Yeah, so it's, you know, sometimes we can kind of talk in a sense of a vagueness about what we do, just because it really, you know, and that's part of the fun of what we do is every single project, every client, everything we build as a product internally, it really, they're not necessarily connected in a very linear kind of like, what are your services kind of way.
Right.
And so for us, what we do to kind of sum it all up, and then I can kind of get down the breakdown of what some of the projects have actually been, is that, you know, we work with startups, we work with foundations and nonprofits, and we work with big companies too. You know, locally in terms of whatever big means to somebody locally, as well as like some national Fortune 5000, Fortune 1000 companies. And what we do is we try to help them, transform or elevate up to the next level where they need to be. And so to kind of put that in simpler terms, if you're a startup, you're likely trying to raise, initial seed capital or venture capital. You're trying to go to market. You're trying to put an MVP, you know, minimum viable product out in the marketplace and get your first 500, 1,000, 2,000 users. And so that would be a reason to work with us.
Okay.
But if you're a big company, you might find a new challenge that you're facing inside the company. Let's talk, this is just an example. Let's say that there's a diversity issue within HR, and the company says, hey, we want to address this head on. Well, the way you don't address it head on anymore is just to, you know, hire someone to come and fix it as a single employee. What you do is you start to build out a team internally and some products internally that can actually help you innovate okay. internally. And so we would come in and help a company innovate internally. And so we start with design thinking as the basis. And so that's just an empathy-driven model, right? So it's like getting to the core of, benefiting and taking care of and raising the bar for people is okay. kind of where we start.
Okay. Well, you were telling me a story, and maybe people can more relate to this because it was fascinating to me about your 1 week turnaround for a product. What was that?
Yeah. So we work in sprints quite often. And so one of the, things that we get a good, pat on the back from clients is that we move really quick and we're okay. fast and we're super communicative. And part of the challenge with that is that sometimes you're moving so fast, it's kind of like...
So this guy had a product right. and he needed a brand. He needed
he wanted to test
what it looked like. Yeah, he wanted was the product? Can you say?
Yeah, he wanted to. We're not actually allowed to say, but he wanted to test his e-commerce model as well as a physical store model for a set of products he wanted to prototype and test out the brand in a sort of shopping experience, one of those big like holiday bazaars kind of a thing, and okay. set up a booth. And so we had 1 week to basically develop a brand and a go-to-market strategy and his messaging, and also sort of create a sales pathway for people to actually purchase stuff. And we did all that under a ton of pressure within a week. And, from their perspective, it was a knock out of the park. And so that compared to the traditional way of saying, go into a marketing firm or design firm or someone and saying, hey, build me out this big brand and this big plan and this long term. We were able to just help him determine really quickly right. whether or not his idea to implement was even worth investing a ton. Usually, and so now
it takes a week to set up the first meeting.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, let me ask a little bit about you because when I talked to you before, I know you're not from here. Where are you're from?
So I've bounced around the Midwest my whole life, and I actually did live in Louisville a little bit when I was younger with my grandparents, but kind of bounced around Cincinnati, Chicago, Northern Indiana. Actually had a small stint in Lexington for a little bit as I did some of my undergrad there before finishing up at Xavier in Cincinnati. But I kind of bounced around. I was supposed to come here for only 9 months, and this is, in December it was me and my family's 5-year anniversary here, and we're not packing.
So you must like it.
Yeah, we like it. It's pretty good. Yeah.
You were working all these other cities, and you're going to stay here.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people point to, stuff like the cost of living or the bourbon scene as the reason they love Louisville, and for us, just the food and coffee scene. And I get like beat up when I'm back sort of home in Chicago about saying this. Is the food scene here is one of the best in the country. And I always tell people it's hard to find a bad restaurant.
Okay.
Whereas in Chicago, every block has a few bad ones, right? So there might be a ton of options in Chicago, which makes it a food city by mass. But in terms of quality, you can kind
okay. of... Okay, well, let's talk about food a little bit. What are some of your go-to spots?
Oh, you're going to get me in trouble.
I know. I like that.
So it just depends. Like I've got my regular spots that I go to frequently. Like love to eat in Nulu at like Royals, Feast, Prime Burger, Galaxy, all those spots for kind of grab your quick fast food lunch.
Right.
But I'm a big fan. I know this is so obvious, but I'm a big Hammerheads fan. But more recently, I started to go to the other restaurant game. But there's two new restaurants that I've fallen in love with, and that's Ulstra. Ostra on Frankfurt Avenue,
yeah.
and then Grama Grassa opened in Holiday Manor, which is a new Italian concept, and it's really they've done an incredible job.
I can't wait to go there. We had Kevin Garnier on the show a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay, yeah. And, let's get me and him together for a dinner at Grassa Grama sometime soon. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's quite a place. I went in there and talked to him, and just all the effort that went into making that reality. So you went and ate there?
Yeah, yeah. There? And we got really lucky that we were in the car. The restaurant we were going to go to, we decided it was a bad idea for that night, not because it was a bad restaurant. And so we just pulled up Yelp Hot and New, and it was like 15 minutes away. And I said, everything in Louisville is basically 15 minutes away. So we happened to like stumble upon it on Yelp the week of its soft opening. And so we went in there before there was, now there's, I think you... you got to wait a few weeks before you can get in there. Probably.
I think the reservation list is tough.
Pretty
huge. I look the week I had him on the show, but at least I got to go in and look around. So that's it. Louisville's got a bunch of great parts of town. You know, a lot of people get stuck. Mm-hmm. I think. Going to restaurants in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
What part of town do you live in?
We're currently in the Highlands, but before that we were basically Frankfort Avenue.
Okay.
For a few years. Yeah.
Right around the corner up there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you saw last week that they just opened up the Manhattan Project's front entrance.
No, I did read about it, but I didn't know that it was or I saw a headline, but so it's officially open.
Yeah, it's officially open. Awesome. It's different. Not a whole lot different. I mean, But it's an improvement for sure.
So. We're big fans, and I know they're getting ready to open their expansion, or maybe it opened this week or so. But Juan Huevos on Frankfort Avenue, is one of my favorite.
Drive out there every day, it's one of my favorite breakfast spot, bar none in town.
Yeah,
and so that's really cool. So you said we can get off the topic of your business a minute. We're talking a little bit about politics and. We had a big discussion around here, I guess, before I got here.
yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so, you know, I kind of struggle talking about politics because I'm not driven by, like, an extreme, like, loyalty to, like, a party so much as I have, like, beliefs about how people should treat people and how government or business or community should treat people, and I'm a big believer in this concept of like equity.
Right.
And so it's really interesting. You know, we can get sort of as a country, as a state, as a city, we can start to get really, really divided by rhetoric or by policies and these conversations. And it's like, you know, I'm excited and optimistic. I know a lot of people aren't. I'm excited and optimistic about, I don't know what the next, you know, 2 years or 4 years is going to look like, but I think beyond that, what's going to happen is that there's going to be a lot of, I'm hoping, a lot of really, really just sort of center-driven, common sense-driven, like math-driven policy that's going to just start to improve stuff. And
common sense, huh?
And part of my reasoning for that is I've got a theory that some friends and I over the years have talked about, and that is just looking at like human nature, you know. Let's just take America, for example, or the state of Kentucky. People in the state of Kentucky had 60, 70 years to change and adapt their society based on the introduction of the TV, right? And a similar probably number of years with a telephone. We got cellular phones pretty quickly, right? Mm-hmm. We had cellular phones, and over just a few years, then it becomes open to now you have data, and now you have internet, and now you have smartphones. And technology is just moving so rapidly. And I'm not talking about like, when I say technology, the high-level stuff like chips and AR and VR, I'm talking just the fact that majority of people, even who are struggling in the poverty line, have access to a smartphone and have access to the internet. And so we're moving so fast as a society. What's happening is just sort of the chaos that comes with that level of new introduction. And so we haven't yet, as a society, figured out how to adapt and how to mold and how to move forward as a society with these things that are access at our fingertips. And so I'm really curious over the next few years how the pendulum will swing another way. And
well,
maybe we'll.
My reaction to what you just said is all this technology has made it a lot easier to fool people.
Yeah.
Right? It's a lot easier to fool people, especially, you know, and I don't think people are quite as smart as they should be about things. And they don't know as much because, you know, we talk about media and I think people were a lot more better informed when you got up every morning and read the newspaper and that was your habit.
Yep.
And now people have cut that out and any other way of knowing what's going on out.
Yeah, I mean, it's like in one way, it's easy to spread false information, but also it's equally easy to spread factual, truth-based information. And the question really becomes, do we as people have enough time to actually click the, like, you know, liner notes at the bottom of an article and see where they got their sources from? I
can
mean,
you
do
be
we,
a,
do
an informed consumer? It's very hard with media.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, that's the big challenge. There's so many sources that you don't know what to believe, and, you know, you can get somebody that knows how to manipulate that, like our current president, who can rise to power.
So,
we got a big challenge. So you're excited about 2020.
At 2020, I'm curious. I don't know that I'm excited yet. I'm curious. Like, kind of like how I mentioned, I think 8, 10, 12 years ago, you got into you paid attention to campaigns because you wanted to see your campaign or your ideals win. And I think there's a huge population that are literally going to keep up with this next campaign just because there is no data point that's going to guarantee who the winner is. And it just feels like a toss-up. There's almost a sense of maybe March Madness. And that goes from the actual, you know, presidential election, even to governor campaigns in the state of Kentucky, even down to, you know, going back to the presidential candidates, like the Democratic candidates, there's such a large pool. It's like, who's going to win? We have no idea. There's no way to sort of say, this person has a 70% chance. Everything kind of feels like a toss up, which I think is in some ways going to make it tough and going to make each candidate
where it
step
should
up.
Be at this,
yeah.
at this point in
yeah.
time.
But it's good for democracy, right? To have options, to have multiple perspectives and not just be fed, you know, two people's opinions over a year, but yeah. hear from 20. And I think that can kind of sharpen things.
Well, let's hope it works out good for all of us. Tark, our time's up. Thanks for having me over. Yep. Thanks for the coffee.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And now I know you're a chai tea drinker.
Yeah. That's right.
And that is what it's about here at the Rusty Satellite Show. Always bringing you the most interesting people in the Ville. I'm happy to bring you as part of the Louisville.am network. Thank you for tuning in. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, of course, as you know, or some of the other podcast networks. There's a lot of ways to listen. You just got to do it. You know, I've talked to a lot of people about listening to podcasts, and you know, it's just a matter of doing it. There's something of interest to you out there, no matter who you are or what you're interested in. I just saw coming to the Louisville.am network is a show called Lou Review. A guy named Matt Keck, who I met recently, is the host, and it's a very interesting show. He had Jim Higdon on the last show. Jim, of course, has been on the Rusty Satellite Show talking about his book about Portland, and of course, he wrote the Cornbread Mafia. What a great piece that is. So anyway, a lot going on here. Remember, LouisvilleKY.com, Pulse of the City, is where you check out news about the city, and Louisville.am network for all sorts of podcasts you can tune into, subscribe to, and listen in. Sure beats radio, right? All right, this is Rick Redding signing off for the Rusty Satellite Show. I'll be back with two of the most interesting people in the Ville again next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. Rick will be back in the Louisville.am studio with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. To suggest a future guest or inquire about doing your own podcast, get in touch with Rick through Facebook or Twitter, or send an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. To see the full list of guests who have appeared on the show since 2013, go to rustysatelliteshow.com.